Intervju Radija Študent.
O ozadju zahodnega napada na Libijo. Zgodovina se definitivno ponavlja in ne glede na nedavnost nekaterih dogodkov, ki bi nas morali narediti bolj pozorne, se nekatere vzporednice le stežka povlečejo. Tega nas zopet uči vojaška kampanja proti Libiji, oziroma, kot se to rado ponavlja, proti njenemu diktatorju Muammarju Gaddafiju. Zahodna vojaška mašinerija se je ponovno aktivirala, tokrat na severu Afrike, in razlog naj bi bil zopet humanitaren. Na videz ponoreli diktator je brez poznavanja veščin odnosov z javnostjo, še posebej zahodno, grozil s pokolom svojih nasprotnikov in Zahod je čutil moralno obvezo, da vstopi in zaščiti nedolžne civiliste. To je, kot nas prepričujejo tako elite kot velik del medijev, edini razlog za vojaški poseg v Libiji. Ko govorimo o sporednicah, seveda ne moremo mimo Iraka, Afganistana, pa tudi Zvezne republike Jugoslavije, kot tarč zahodnih vojsk v bližnji preteklosti. V vseh teh primerih je bil uradni razlog za napad izključno en – humanitarnost. A čeprav so se v vseh teh primerih razlogi za poseg izkazali za fabricirane v takšni ali drugačni meri, to zahodne javnosti ni naredilo bolj sumničave glede sedanje operacije. Si lahko torej privoščimo takšno naivnost in tudi tokrat verjamemo diktatu elit, da je napad na Libijo zgolj humanitarne narave. Da se želi, kot s perfektno ogorčenim izrazom na obrazu ponavljajo zahodni politiki, le zaščititi civiliste. Po mnenju našega današnjega sogovornika Mišela Hosudovskega, direktorja Centra za raziskovanje globalizacije v kanadskem Montrealu, ne. Hosudovski pravi, da napad na Libijo ni naključje, da niti upor na vzhodu države ni bil tako spontan, kot je bil predstavljen, in da je nov spopad le zadnja v vrsti bitk ene same vojne, ki se bije širom bližnjega vzhoda, Azije in zdaj tudi Severne Afrike. A začnimo z očitnim vprašanjem.
Before we talk about some of the interests behind the attack on Libya, I wonder, did the Western military intervention save lives in Benghazi and elsewhere in Libya, or is that an argument which holds no merit?
The Western military intervention is characterized by the use of advanced weapon systems, Tomahawk missiles, cruise missiles, bombing, using very sophisticated aircraft, including the B-2 stealth bomber, which was in fact used against Yugoslavia. Now, anybody who has a minimal understanding of weapon systems knows that these bombs will kill people. They are in fact meant to destroy infrastructure, and the evidence points civilian targets have also been affected by these bombings. Specifically in Tripoli, there were hospitals which were targeted. We have reports to that effect. There were civilian targets, civilian airports, residential areas. This is something which people in Yugoslavia are very familiar with, or in the former Yugoslavia, because the NATO bombings in 1999 had precisely that logic. They were directed against, not only against military targets, but against civilian targets, 17th, 18th century churches, hospitals, TV stations, and so on. And that is precisely what is happening. Now, there's another aspect to that, is that all these weapon systems use depleted uranium ammunition, which then triggers the question of radiation resulting from the DU, and which in all likelihood will affect the civilian population over large areas.
That also is nothing new because NATO used such a weapon in the bombing of Yugoslavia in 1999.
Absolutely.
Do you find it strange that the West and the Western media in particular is very quick to accept reports on civilian casualties on the rebel side, but quickly dismisses the possibility of civilian casualties on the side of the supporters of Gaddafi or civilians in general, caused by NATO's attacks?
No, I think we have to understand that the Western military alliance not only dismisses the issue of civilian casualties when those civilian casualties occur, particularly when they bomb Tripoli, but they go to some lengths to falsify the reports of civilian casualties to the extent that when the funerals were held right at the outset of the bombing campaign, the reports of the Western media said that these were fake funerals, that there were no dead in the coffins. You had 1,000 people at funerals, and then they said, no, this is not, these are fake, these are staged events. And then the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, said that what the Gaddafi regime was doing was taking bodies that resulted from civilian casualties that they had caused, and they were taking them to the places where the bombings took place. In other words, that those civilian casualties were not due to the bombings, but had been transported to the place where the bombings took place, with a view to falsifying again the balance sheet, and essentially what Robert Gates was saying is that they were fabricating casualties when there were no casualties by bringing these bodies to the site where the bombings took place. It was absolutely cynical and can be refuted by the information that we're getting from other sources. The Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian doctors who are in Libya wrote a testimony to the effect that residential areas were being bombed, hospitals were bombed. We got reports of that. And what we have is indiscriminate bombing, as we had in Yugoslavia, as we have in Iraq. And this is a major military operation directed against an entire country, and we have to understand it in those terms.
What, in your opinion, is the reason for these indiscriminate bombings? Is it to put the fear in the supporters of Gaddafi, or what's the rationale behind it?
The objective of this military campaign is strategic. It has it's economic as well. Libya is a major oil producer. It has 3.5% of global oil and gas reserves, more than twice those of the United States. It's a country which controls its oil industry. It has a state oil company. Western interests are already there, but they still have to go through the system of tender. They are competing with other powers such as China, which has significant interests in Libya. Libya is also the gateway into Central Africa. It borders on Niger, which is a major uranium-producing economy. And essentially, this country is considered to be a little bit too independent. It is not fully aligned with the Western free market economy, and my understanding is that this military intervention is essentially to implement regime change and to establish a compliant neo-colony of the United States in North Africa. And I say the United States because this war is going to weaken the role, the historical role of Italy and France in the North African region. It's a process of colonization. It's not a humanitarian operation. This is an absurd proposition. The fact that people on the left in Western Europe and North America support this operation is absurd. First of all, it demonstrates a total misunderstanding of how military operations are undertaken from the air, and it is based on a very weak understanding of what's going on the ground. Now, if you look at the opposition forces, you will realize that these opposition forces are integrated by an Islamic organization which is called the Libya Islamic Fighter Group. It is linked to Al-Qaeda. It is supported by the CIA. One of the leaders of the insurgency is a person very much tied to the CIA. It's well documented. The only significant fighting force from a paramilitary point of view, apart from the elements of the Libyan armed forces which have defected to the opposition, is this Libya Islamic Fighting Group. The rest of the people are civilians in pickup trucks with guns and so on, who have no military experience whatsoever. So that essentially the pro-democracy opposition, from as far as the insurrection is concerned, is integrated by Islamists. And this organization has also been supported historically by the CIA. The Libya Islamic Fighting Group is linked up to Al-Qaeda. They were trained, their leaders were trained in Afghanistan and Pakistan in CIA-sponsored guerrilla camps. So that essentially that insurgency is already infiltrated and supported by the Western Military Alliance and its intelligence operatives, including the CIA and MI6. Weapons are coming in from Saudi Arabia. The question we might ask, does this insurgency reflect public opinion in general within Libya? Irrespective of what our position is vis-a-vis Gaddafi, I don't think that's the question. But it just so happens that a large segment of Libyan public opinion is actually against this bombing. I would say probably the majority of the population is against this bombing.
You've mentioned that Libya is being bombed in order to get rid of Gaddafi, in order to change Libya into a colony of the West. But isn't it a fact that Gaddafi was already a decent business partner for the West in the recent years?
I think the objective is to subordinate the Gaddafi regime, but essentially to replace him. It's true that in the last few years, Gaddafi has been very much, particularly in the last few years, not in an earlier period, since 2006 approximately, there's been active collaboration between the Gaddafi regime and the Western business interests. The oil companies have British Petroleum and Texaco, Chevron have investment interests in Libya. But nonetheless, this is not a colony of the United States. You could have said the same thing about Saddam Hussein. There were relations in the 1980s between the Iraqi government and Western oil companies and so on, but it still remained a country which had a certain degree of sovereignty in relation to these foreign interests. Now, what I think is happening is we have now a fourth war theater. The three war theaters which have been ongoing until recently, which are ongoing, is Afghanistan, Iraq, and Palestine. Okay, although Palestine is somewhat different circumstances, but these are three related war theaters, and now we have a fourth war theater, which is North Africa, and that is part of a roadmap which is already predetermined. It's part of the same military agenda. That's what I'm trying to suggest, is that we're not dealing with separate military agendas. These operations are coordinated. That there's several theaters. Afghanistan and Iraq are two separate war theaters. But from the point of view of U.S. foreign policy and U.S. military strategy, they are coordinated. And now we have another war theater which is emerging in North Africa. It's the largest military deployment since Iraq. It should be understood, and any military analyst will tell you that, is that this operation was planned well ahead of the protest movement in Tunisia and Egypt. And the idea that that the protest movement has spread spontaneously from Egypt to Libya is absolutely nonsensical. You don't prepare a military operation of this nature in less than several long months. In some cases, it can take more than a year to prepare this kind of military operation. So that both the insurgency in Libya, as well as the operation which was initiated on the 19th of March, took months and months of prior preparation, and were on the drawing board of the Pentagon well before the protest movements started in Tunisia and Egypt in the month of January.
If I'm not mistaken, the United States only gets about 1% of its oil from Libya. Is that the reason for a rather passive role of the US in this conflict? Because, as we know, the US has taken control over the operations, but has stepped away a bit and put it in the hands of NATO, and France and Great Britain are the European states who are declaratively taking control of the operations in Libya.
Well, this is from my point of view, that's fiction. The United States still controls the operation because it controls NATO, and in fact, not only that, but it's a Canadian general who is in charge of this mission on behalf of NATO. But in fact, this Canadian general is already integrated into the U.S. command structure because he was in Northern Command. He was involved in NORAD, which is the bilateral arrangement between the United States and Canada, and so he's been based in the United States for a number of years now, and he's very much integrated into U.S. military doctrine and so on. So that the United States controls NATO and it controls the command structure. It doesn't. It's not really the issue of withdrawing. I think what the United States wants is that they want these other countries to participate with their respective militaries, because they are obvious limitations on the amount of military hardware available, and of course they want to share the budget, the costs of this war with their NATO partners. But it's still the U.S. Military command which is calling the shots, and I as I suggested earlier, this military operation will ultimately weaken France and Italy in North Africa. The objective is to establish a much more cohesive sphere of influence of the United States in Africa, in North Africa, but also in the entire African continent. And that applies to Libya, but it also applies to Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia. They're building U.S. military bases in Algeria. The process of regime change in Tunisia will no doubt lead to the appointment of a more pro-American head of state, and thereby weaken the role of France. I suspect that the role of France and Italy in North Africa will be weakened, and the United States also, in the context of AFRICOM, seeks to militarize the continent and establish itself in much more firmly in Africa. So it's a new redivision of Africa.
So why do you think France, Great Britain, and Italy play a part in this conflict the way they do?
Well, first of all, they don't want to be excluded, and they're part of the of NATO. So they are participating in that capacity. Britain has a very different relationship to the United States than the other two countries. Britain is there's an Anglo-American alliance both in various fields, in the oil industry, in the spheres of money and banking, and also in the defense industry, with British Aerospace Systems is the largest British and European conglomerate, but it is also it also has exactly the same rights as the big defense contractors in the United States, and is registered in the United States as a supplier to the U.S. Department of Defense. The same thing, British Petroleum is an Anglo-American company. It's the merge of British Petroleum and American Oil Company with Atlantic Richfield and so on, so that there's a merging of British and American interests, and to some extent the position of France and Italy is somewhat different. But they certainly also want to share the spoils of this war, and they want to maintain their influence in North Africa.
You've mentioned China before. Does the growing role of China in Africa's economies play a part in the way the West thinks about its position in the region?
Well, absolutely. The objective of this military operation is exclude China from Africa. That's quite clear. China has the largest presence as far as its state oil company is involved in several contracts in Libya. It has a significant workforce inside China, the Chinese workers who are there. And I think that what the Western alliance is seeking is ultimately to make sure that China is pushed out of Africa so that they can have a much more hands-on role in relation to Libya's oil and gas reserves.
If we talk for a minute about the reactions in the West, in the Western public about this attack, do you find it strange that in the case of Libya, the Western public is quick to demand or approve of some military action, saying that it is necessary to save lives? But in the case of the oppression of the Palestinians, there doesn't seem to be a lot of demands for at least an embargo against Israel.
No, obviously, I mean, if we're talking about humanitarian interventions, we could certainly justify humanitarian interventions against Israel in favor of the Palestinians, that certainly, but that has not occurred. I think more broadly, this humanitarian operation is undertaken by people who are ultimately involved in war crimes in other parts of the world. I'm thinking of Iraq or Afghanistan. The heads of state and heads of government of the Western Military Alliance are war criminals in many regards. Obama has ordered these operations using unmanned aerial vehicles in northern Pakistan in the tribal areas. Last year, according to official Pakistani figures, 1,000 people were killed. And this was the result of U.S. operations. Well, they'll say it's collateral damage, but these are war crimes. And in Iraq, the estimates of deaths resulting from the U.S.-led invasion and bombing is of the order of more than 1 million people. So how can these people all of a sudden say we're coming to the rescue of civilians in Libya when in fact they have blood on their hands, and they are then telling us that they're going to rescue these civilians by bombing them? So that's the absurdity. But the absurdity is that we support that because there's authority behind it. I think we are in an inquisitorial environment. It's a bit like the Spanish or French Inquisition, where you do not question the authority of the state. And people are led to believe that bombing a country is a humanitarian operation, when in fact bombing a country leads to civilian casualties.
I would like to conclude this interesting conversation with a question that, to me, sounds fundamental. How should the West act in the case of Libyan, let's call it civil or tribal war, and should it act at all?
Well, as far as if there are divisions within a country, and if there is a protest movement or an armed insurrection or civil war, this is for the people of that country to resolve it. It's not resolved through aerial bombardments. If it's a question of defining a humanitarian mandate, there are other ways of doing it. You can send in the Red Cross. As proposed by President Chavez of Venezuela, that you can send in a group of negotiators to reach some kind of settlement between the government and the opposition. You don't resolve this through a bombing campaign, but if the so-called international community is to intervene, and I don't even know who the international community is, because these people are not part of the international community. I'm talking about the heads of state and heads of government of the Western countries. They are serving the interests of oil companies and military contractors. But if it's a question of people in the West taking a stance as to what should be done, I would say send in civilian missions at the diplomatic level, send in the Red Cross, send in aid to help people to resolve their conflicts and so on. That is the kind of assistance which Libya needs at this moment. I would say that this is an internal problem and it's an interference into the sovereign rights of a country.
Z Mišelom Hosudovskim, direktorjem Centra za raziskovanje globalizacije, se je pogovarjal Boris. Posnetek je na voljo tudi na spletni strani Radija Študent pod rubriko Politika. APR Intervju.
Intervju Radija Študent.